seek and slide. Have fun outside, but don't get fried. Slip on a shirt, slop on sunscreen, slap on a hat, six shade, slide on sunnies, simple as that. Slip, slop, slap, seek and slide. Have fun outside, but don't get fried.
Oh yes, yeah, slip, slop, slap, any excuse to play that one. That famous campaign from the 80s with Sid the Seagull telling us to slip on a shirt, slop on some sunscreen and slap on a hat. And for a while it seemed we were doing it. But new research from the Skin and Cancer Foundation shows that the message isn't cutting through perhaps as it used to, and it is our biggest organ, this big sort of landscape of skin of ours. When was the last time you had a skin check? I've had some shocks this past year on this front, even though I get reasonably regular checks. My freckly skin now feels a little bit like a ticking time bomb, I will admit. New data reveals that more than half of us have no concerns about skin cancer or sunspots at all, despite the fact we have the highest melanoma rates in the world. But there's more to skin health than skin cancer, as we're about to hear. And joining us this morning is Associate Professor Peter Foley. He's a dermatologist. He's Director of Research at the Skin and Cancer Foundation. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Natasha. Thanks for taking the time to talk about the Skin Health Australia report card.
Yes, and this is a report card. It's the second one. I just want to be clear, though, who's sponsoring this. What is the Skin and Cancer Foundation?
The Skin and Cancer Foundation is a not-for-profit organisation. It's the home of dermatology in Victoria, so essentially every dermatologist in Victoria is a member of the foundation. We run a number of clinics, most of which are tertiary referral. So they'll be very much subspecialised clinics where you can only be seen if a dermatologist sends you in. Okay. There's also direct GP referral to a skin cancer assessment clinics. So we will see people referred from GPs for skin cancer, but for example, there's a nail clinic and there's a hair clinic and there's a specific psoriasis clinic. So there are clinics that are very much small print where you need that extra expertise. We also are an educational organisation, so we're involved with medical undergraduate teaching. We're involved with patient support groups trying to help raise the profile of their conditions, educating the public about their diseases. We're involved with dermatology registrar training.
Okay, so and you also commission this survey, second year in a row, through the support of an untied education grant through a pharmaceutical company. It's important to lay that out there, I guess. What was the scale of this survey? What questions were being asked? What were you interested in probing?
So there were a little bit over 1,000 people that were interviewed by an organisation called Stolzenau Research, who are a professional research and advisory firm, what might previously have been called market research. So they interviewed over 1,000 people over the age of 18, and they asked them a number of questions that related to their skin health in general, whether they had skin conditions, whether they thought they were serious or simply cosmetic problems. And so they were asking about so-called inflammatory skin disease, which is all the skin diseases other than skin cancers. Then they ask a number of questions on skin cancer itself. Do people protect themselves in the sun? Do they check their skin? Do they have others checking their skin? Are they worried about things? So we were looking at both the neoplastic or skin cancer side of things as well as the inflammatory side of things, really to get information so that we can then go to the community and say, look, this is a big problem. It's not just a cosmetic problem. It needs to be out there. The public need to be aware of what various skin diseases are. We need to be better at training general practitioners and medical students in skin disease so that we can treat things early and get on top of things.
I certainly have a lot of sympathy for people who have copped both skin cancer and inflammatory skin diseases, speaking personally. The survey has revealed some alarming conclusions about our attitude towards skin cancer. What did you find?
It's important to emphasise that Sunday sees the start of Skin Cancer Action Week, which is a national week dedicated to skin cancer action, jointly sponsored by the Australasian College of Dermatologists, which is the national umbrella organisation, okay, as well as Cancer Council Australia. And they'll talk even more about, they've done specific sun surveys looking at sun behaviours, but what
despite all those awareness campaigns, this data seems to suggest that we're not getting the message. We're not putting sunscreen on as we might, and in fact, a great percentage of us don't really worry about it at all.
Yeah, over the half of the 1,000 people that were interviewed had little or no concern about skin cancer or sunspots at all. So they just weren't worried about skin cancer, despite 60% of people saying they had fair skin and 10% saying they had very fair skin. So it's the population that are at risk of skin cancer who still just seem to think, oh, it's just a skin thing.
Now, why do you think that is? Is this disconnect between awareness of a risk and action? You know, that somehow we know there's a risk, but really it won't happen to us.
I think that's part of it, that because of the lag between when the exposure happens and when the skin cancer appears, because it's not like sunburn itself, where you spend too much time in the sun today, you'll be burnt tomorrow. Skin cancer is the result of cumulative sun exposure. So sun exposure in childhood, to some extent, sets us up. But then the exposure we have as an adult tips us over the edge, and people just think, it won't happen to me, or disconnect.
Mm.
A bit like you can still see people smoking.
You wonder whether we need another slap campaign. I wonder also whether there are some mixed messages here around sun exposure. We also more recently have come to understand that we're missing out on requisite sun exposure as a vital source of vitamin D.
I think there's two parts of that. The first is that the Cancer Council has shown that when you drop off the promotional message, people tend to revert back to previous behaviour. It's a bit like the TAC likes to keep emphasising what's happening with the road toll, otherwise people lapse back because they think, oh, maybe it's not important now because people aren't telling me about it. And there is the vitamin D story. I think that's going to be released next week. There's a joint position statement between, again, the Cancer Council, Australasian College of Dermatologists, Osteoporosis Australia, and the Australian and New Zealand Bone and Mineral Society, talking about trying to reach a balance between a little bit of sun exposure, because we very quickly saturate our vitamin D production in the skin, and the fact that every bit of sun exposure contributes to sun damage, skin ageing, and skin cancer somewhere down the track. So essentially we need a little bit of sun on a lot of our skin to minimise damage to any particular part of the skin whilst trying to maximise vitamin D production, which is important for bone and or musculoskeletal health.
Associate Professor Peter Foley is with us this morning on Life Matters. He's a dermatologist. He, through the Skin and Cancer Foundation, is involved in a Skin Health Australia report card, a survey of over 1,000 Australians about their experience of skin health, their attitudes towards sun exposure and skin cancer. And just before we get on to the other range of skin diseases that this survey probed, what about the question of whether we can undo some of the cumulative damage that we've copped over the years? I know that's a question of concern to me.
Certainly, we know that adults who protect themselves have lower rates of developing skin cancers than those that don't protect themselves, and that's been shown in a number of Australian studies. So it's important to protect yourself as adult. Perhaps you don't undo the damage, but you prevent the progression of damage. And there's a growing body of evidence that vitamin B3 niacinamide might help prevent the development of skin cancer. So there's ongoing research there. So a B group vitamin might be helpful. And then there's just looking after your skin in general that can help.
Yeah. One of this survey asked much broader questions about for example, the psychological impact of skin conditions like psoriasis and eczema, acne. other inflammatory skin diseases, they cause incredible distress. You also asked about sexual function, the impact of skin diseases on that. What did you find there?
Well, I think it's something that we're starting to become aware of in dermatology is just how much having signs of disease on your skin impacts on your quality of life and what you're able to do. So we found, for example, that 14% of people, one out of seven, their skin condition affected what they do on a day-to-day basis. Just normal daily activities were impacted by their skin disease. We found that nearly 20%, it impacted, the skin disease impacted either their social or leisure activities. So, for example, if people have psoriasis on their arms and legs, they're probably not going to go swimming because of the way people react to them.
And this was particularly the case for young people.
So certainly young people, it impacts more, and a lot of these conditions appear in the teenage years and early 20s. So it's a lifelong condition, and it's at a time that people are trying to establish a peer group, self-esteem's developing, just the way they interact with other people is impacted by what happens on a day-to-day basis. So if you have a skin condition on your hands and people won't accept the food that you serve to them in a restaurant, or they won't hand you the change when you're at the supermarket or in a shop, it does affect your mind. We know that rates of depression, anxiety and other psychological conditions are more common in people with skin disease, and particularly with severe skin disease. So, yeah, it interferes with just the way we interact. It's possible if the skin disease develops later in life and we have established relationships, established careers, that it impacts a little bit less than what it does if it occurs early in life.
Also, 8% of people surveyed had skin conditions that cause sexual difficulties, and this is, again, an experience that is really under-discussed, I think, the impact of skin disease on sexual function.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's possible sometimes that just the inflammatory skin disease itself might impact on sexual function. More likely, though, it's the psychological or the psychosocial impact of the condition, where establishing a relationship, being prepared to expose one's flesh in the company of someone else because of embarrassment or discomfort with the skin just affects relationships.
Yeah. To be frank, I wonder if your own profession of dermatology responds adequately to the scale and scope of the need that this survey reveals. The go-to fix often is yet another cortisone cream. and there's often very little context given about what other factors might be within a person's control. For example, with a skin condition like psoriasis. I've had this experience myself, and it feels like a very sort of narrowly defined suite of options.
Thankfully, there's been an explosion in developments of recent times. So we still use cortisone creams. We'll still use them in combination with other therapies, but we do have a range now of tablet and even injectable treatments for a range of skin conditions. There's a lot of development happening in terms of new treatments coming through. So,
but what about diet and lifestyle and stress? All those interrelationships are rarely discussed in a dermatology clinic.
Yep. Well, I've just finished a consultation with a young lady with an inflammatory skin condition called hidradenitis suppurativa, which is recurrent boils and abscesses in the armpits and in the groin and under the breasts.
Ouch.
And we've spoken about, yes, she's going to go and see a GP about weight loss. She's given up cigarettes. There's no specific dietary factor, but caloric restriction, so just eating less, is going to help her. I think there's still a lot we need to discover about specific foods and conditions, but we are now talking about maintaining ideal body weight, moderate alcohol intake, no smoking, exercise, because we know that just body adiposity, the fat cells produce inflammatory chemicals that drive a lot of skin conditions.
Just finally,
so we're trying to.
Yes, no, and I think that's such an interesting area, this relationship between our skin and our health and what various lifestyle factors affect, including stress, I think. But we just need better evidence, don't we? What about the role of GPs? Because, again, dermatologists are very expensive for a lot of people. A lot of people I know haven't gone to have regular skin checks because they can't afford it. Should GPs be better equipped? Just briefly and finally.
We think that GPs are the coalface. So the GPs should be first point of call for skin conditions. We would like to educate GPs more. We'd like to have more teaching in the medical schools. Some of them are starting to increase what's being done. Others, though, are reducing the amount of skin teaching or dermatology teaching. 10% of GP consultations are specifically for skin conditions. Mm. So, yes, it should be more education for general practitioners and medical students, I think, is one of the messages that comes out of this report.
Yes. Look, thank you very much for making the time and probably a busy clinical day for you for Life Matters. Thank you, Associate Professor Peter Foley.
Thank you for taking the time. Thanks for speaking.
And it's Skin Cancer Action Week next week. And the survey that we were discussing through the Skin and Cancer Foundation is the Skin Health Australia report card. Natasha Mitchell with you this morning on Life Matters. Going to dash into another studio now because we've got a very exciting offering for you. Live music on Life Matters.